Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday. Believe it or not, it's the second day of October 2025. Ken Cummins, a legend across the way. Good morning, Ken.
Well, good morning, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First. Recently, I was in an interview at WHBO here in town, and Eddie Owen and Kyle Rader, host there, uptown this morning. And Eddie and I both agree we're legendary figures.
Well,
I guess that means we're old.
You're a legend. Old or whatever it means.
All right. Via telephone, all the way from his house, is someone that you know as, he's your Sunday morning host on Sunday Morning Praise and also your host for Ministry Spotlight. But I know him as Tammy and Kenny's youngest son. It's Andrew Cummins. Hello, Andrew. How are you this morning?
Well, good morning. I'm not sure how I can top that introduction. That's pretty good.
I, instead of giving you some money for your work this week, I thought I'd give you some accolades. How's that work out?
Well, if you really know behind the scenes, I've already been paid for the week, but, you know, it makes a good thing to say on the radio, right?
Well, I can retract them some way, I guess.
So, listeners, my dad and I, we always do this, but I'm glad to be on the program this morning. I've been on the front porch before. I went to Mexico last year on a mission trip, and we talked about that. Well, we're going to get into it now. What's going on, y'all?
Well, the thing is, a lot's going on. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and we're going to discuss or hear you chat about your recent trip to Thailand. And so we're going to get together and talk about places I can't even pronounce, and we'll talk and chat about that. And have you had your first cup of coffee?
I'm more of a tea guy. So
tea?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes. Well, it's the stuff that the people in the South put a lot of sugar in.
That's true.
Tea, but
that's true.
Tea is a broad range, and I you know, just after the caffeine, if you will.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to praise King Jesus, talk about a lot of things, and see if we can get Andrew awakened, if he's over his dose of jet lag, or if he's still just lagging
behind,
or is he just lagging behind. We'll see which it is. But right now, we're on the front porch with Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First, with Andrew Cummins, and I'm Ken.
I'm Tammy Cummins, office manager and afternoon host on Missionary Radio. In these dark times, we need to make a difference for the kingdom of God by our prayers and finances, where they will make a big impact. It's expensive to run radio stations, but I believe it's money well spent to get the message of Jesus Christ out to many who still need Him. Missionary Radio, your community Christian station, is 100% listener-funded. Our What an Awesome God Carathon is October 7th through 9th, and we need your help. We had a serious shortfall this summer, at times 75% below budget. If you're new to Missionary Radio, please join in supporting our mission to reach people for Christ. Or if you are a current partner, please renew. You may give online at missionary.radio, call 877-885-9655, or mail to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Philippians 4:17-19, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Paul thanked the Philippians for their support. It said something remarkable. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." In God's economy, every generous act is recorded as eternal fruit. When you give, and God promises to meet your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
The only thing that gets me through the end of the day is turning it on.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
I don't know how we would have gotten through the past couple years without it.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Thursday morning. And, of course, we are your community station, and Ken Cummins, and, of course, Andrew Cummins, way of phone this morning. We're, of course, talking to him about his trip to Thailand.
Well, yes, indeed. And, Andrew, first of all, share with our listening family who you went with and where so that we can set the stage. Go ahead.
Well, I live in McCracken County, which is Paducah, and I go to a church called Heartland Church, and I've been going there since I moved back to the Western Kentucky area from Lexington with my wife, Mandy, since September 2023. And in the time that I've been going there, I've been on two mission trips now. The first one, I went to Merida, Mexico. That's in the Yucatan area of Mexico, last year in November. And as someone who's fluent in Spanish, I've been interpreting a whole lot, whether that's for a job or for the church, for close to 10 years. And I just didn't feel led to go to Mexico again this year. God had something else planned for me. And I've been hearing a lot of, about Thailand. And matter of fact, church has been going to Thailand for 13 years. And they invested in a mission partner a long time ago named Ekachai. And he's a pastor, and he's married and has one son who's 24, and they have a church. It's a gospel church. Now, I don't know how to pronounce their village, but it's That Village Gospel Church. And a lot of small house churches have been started through this church. And the point of going this time, usually there's a lot more people that go, but kind of the idea of going this time was to go in there and just kind of see what's going on, edify, do some evangelizing in the area, and I just thought it'd be a great opportunity to be a part of that. So I joined on. There was five of us who went out of, three of us, we went to Thailand, and then the other two, Bangkok, we split up. They went to Myanmar and Vietnam, so we were all over the place, and Heartland Church is known for being very mission-minded. They're are a lot of mission partners all over the world. But I suppose you have questions for me. I'll take a breath.
Okay. Well, I was I'd gone ahead and prepared my breakfast on that. No, I'm glad that I want to know.
Cool.
Thailand, give us, for those that, like me, that, well, actually, like Brian Marshall Sidebottom, the first, he thought that was over in Katy somewhere.
Yeah, I thought it was real close.
And so... Just teasing.
Yeah.
Just set the stage where that is in the world, Andrew.
Well, Thailand is over there by Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam in that part of Asia. And the region that we went to is called the Isan region. It's spelled I-S-A-A-N. It's one of the largest regions. It actually is the largest region in Thailand. But what's really most important about that is there's only... not even 1% of the people groups or people in general there know Jesus. 99% of the population there is Buddhist. Can you imagine?
Yes, and is it hostile towards Christianity as a whole?
It's not very hostile at all. Actually, they're very warm and loving people, and there's a lot of smiles. Now, Christianity is certainly not encouraged. What's known there is, of course, Buddhism. And a lot there's you know, temples everywhere. It's in their it's on their money, their king. Everything is Buddhist centric in Thailand, and that's a different kind of evangelism that I've never experienced. You know, I spent a lot of time in Latin America as a kid, missionary kid, and then going back and forth. People in Latin America know who Jesus is, and part of Catholicism obviously is Jesus, but of course they don't know Jesus as their personal savior in that regard, but these people in this Isan region of Thailand, some of them don't even know who Jesus Christ is. I'd say the majority don't.
Mm. So you go into this region, the Isan region. Did you stay in a specific area or travel from village to village, or just what did you do?
Well, we landed in Bangkok, Thailand, the capital. Then we took a small flight for about an hour or two a small town called Sakhon Nakhon. I won't spell that. Don't worry. And from there, we took another 45-minute car ride to a small village called Nawa. And there, as I said, there's a church that's been there a while, for many, many years. But here's the thing. Even though that church has been there for 70 years, it's still very, very hard to gain new believers there because of the Buddhist stronghold. And, I mean, it's like I said, it's ingrained into their even their government. It's on their money, of all things. And what's been happening lately, though, is there's been a lot of house churches being started. And I actually got to see a lot of that and how that's going and a lot more things.
Okay. Well, Andrew, to evangelism, there's all kinds of ways to go at it. And you mentioned there is definitely a difference in the way, say, we evangelize or still do in Latin America or even here in the Bible Belt of America. That's the whole challenge all by itself. So what approach to evangelism is the church taking, and how did you guys engage people?
Well, I mentioned about the Buddhist temples everywhere. There's a lot of monks there. You can go anywhere, even national parks, and there's a Buddhist shrine with a monk hanging out there or living there. Like, it's just so ingrained into their culture and society that it's just normal. Well, what I've heard, story I heard from the lady I went with, she's been going for close to 12 years, and this place is near and dear to her heart. You know, she said that believers, Christians from the area, have told her in so many ways and so many different conversations that the Buddhists there, they take. That is what their words were. They take from the community. They build these huge, ornate structures with gold. Some of the things are made of gold. Not all, but they take the money from the community, but they don't give it back to the community. Well, one of the ways that Pastor Ekachai and his flock are ministering to the people in these villages in the area are to do little pop-up evangelism events. For example, we did about three or four of these. We go into a village, and we would set up PA system. There'd be music. There'd be testimonies, preaching. The ladies of the church would have a whole stand set up for, you know, nail polish and different things, and they'd be doing body mass index checks, and there's even a gospel sharing station. So with the music and the PA system, we'd be attracting people, and sometimes in the middle of the villages, and get their attention, and they'd come in, and, you know, they'd have all these people giving back, sharing with them, you know, doing these health-related things. I'm sure there's been other things they've done as far as, like, medical clinics and whatnot, but this is just what we did. But the idea, I guess the approach is to obviously get their attention first, but when they get in there, show them that they're not asking for something of the people, the very poor agrarian society, you know, that just they grow the food that they eat most of the time, and that just to survive. And we're not, as Christians in the church there, we're not asking them for you know, to build up our temples and not give back to the community. No, they're reaching out with service, with servants' hearts, and from there we share the gospel.
Well, I know that you, in your communication back, you mentioned that there was a certain area that didn't want you there, even though you said it's not really hostile. How did they get across to you that you're not welcome?
Well, from what I understand, through our interpreter, we had an interpreter named Moy. She's from a bigger town in Thailand. She spent the whole time with us. She said that, you know, a couple of guys from the village just started complaining, and they just were giving us stern looks and said, hey, we don't really want all this noise here. And, you know, they didn't come out swinging and screaming, but they, you know, made it very known that they didn't want us there. And regardless of the approach, whether it's, you know, unfortunately sometimes violent in missions or, you know, just words, regardless, the devil has a stronghold in these areas. 99% of their population is not Christian, nor do they know Jesus. And as a matter of fact, I was looking at the numbers, it's not even 1% of the area that's Christian. It's 0.40% Christian in the area. So think about that when you think about these people and rejection.
Well, in the name of Jesus is strong. And they recognize that. I'm certain they know something's up, just like in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. Well, the Gospels, I mean, when Jesus went to town, something happened. He always does follow when Jesus shows up. Then something's going on. Well, what did you do personally in all of what you've described? What were your activities?
Well, they found out that I'm a musician. And from there, they asked, hey, would you like to share and maybe sing some praise and worship songs in English, to which I did. I picked up, you know, they had their I'm going to paint a picture for you here. So,
Please do. I'd be glad. It'd be nice to see that on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's see if I got some imagery skills here. But essentially, the pastor's son, he's 24 years old. His name in Thai is Anupap, but they go by a lot of nicknames there, especially for Americans, so we can handle it. He's called Can. So it's just spelled C-A-N, like Can. Well, Can, he's a very talented kid on fire for the Lord, following his dad, Ekachai, the pastor's footsteps. Well, he's a very good musician, and we connected very fast over that. And he would play and sing on acoustic, and he'd do very familiar versions of songs that we play, but in Thai. It was very interesting to hear that. But to the point, he had a band with him, just a couple of guys, and they would play their traditional Thai music, but through like the folky stuff from the area. They'd play it, and that would get people's attention because, you know, that's their culture. They'd hear that. But instead of singing about, you know, Buddhism or whatever they sing about, it would be believers going up there and making up words. Not making up words, but they weren't singing from a script. They were speaking from their heart to this traditional song structure of the Isan province. They were singing about the Lord and whatever was on their heart to this very traditional structure that they all know. Well, I was very interested in that, and after, you know, playing my praise song in English, I said, wow, I'd love to, or I was thinking to myself, I would love to play bass with them because they didn't have a bass player. Well, they come up to me and say, hey, how would you like to play bass for us? So I just kind of just smiled, you know, it ain't odd, it's God. I've heard that from somebody, but it was my way to connect with them and get to know them, break the ice, even though I don't speak their language, music was the common language. So they asked me to play. I played with them, and I plugged into the music side of things while the ladies that were on the trip were doing other things. And I do some things here and there, but really God used me through my music abilities. And of course, you're talking about the New Testament. Paul spoke adamantly about using your spiritual gifts, and I was very, very, very grateful that I got to do that.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to ask Andrew to hang around. Maybe he can pour himself another cup of tea there. And Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First is giving me those fingers again. What he does, there's an old thing used to say that let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Uh-huh. Well, Brian does this thing where he walks all across the board and says, over, it's over, it's over, it's over. So we're going to hear Pen from the Heart, and then we'll come right back with Andrew Cummins live from his home in Paducah, right here on
Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Madisonville, thank you for the prayers, programming, and commitment to Christ. From Big Rock, thank you for all you do. Stay strong, especially in today's world. From a Hopkinsville listener, God bless you. And from Clarksville, I enjoy listening to Missionary Radio. Every program is a blessing. May the Lord continue to richly bless you guys as you continue to faithfully follow where He leads.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary Radio.
Well, good morning to you. Thanks for listening. Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, just spoke to you. I'm Ken Cummins, Andrew Cummins via telephone. And Andrew, we're talking to you about Thailand and your recent trip and just still suffering from jet lag, I'm sure. But, Andrew, we want to kind of move now to some stories, but I'll let you set it up. I do know this, that you guys, describe what you saw as far as how you ministered. But I understand there's a lot of house churches. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, of course, I was talking about the pop-up evangelism. It's not so much pop-up for the church. They planned it meticulously, but we were, quote-unquote, popping up in villages in the middle of their daily lives. A lot of the places were pre-approved, I'm sure, but we'd go in there, we'd play music, there'd be some preaching and testimonies, and there'd be a little table set up with health things and some stuff for ladies, and that would get people's attention. Well, that was a big component of what we did, but I was there. I was gone for 2 weeks and about 10 days because, traveling there, they're 12 hours ahead of us. So if you can imagine flying across the other side of the world, takes a while. We've had the front and back of this experience, this missions experience, and the meat and potato of it was about 10 days. So pop-up evangelism, visiting local communities and edifying people and sharing and trying to encourage them to fight the good fight for the Lord in their area where the gospel is hardly proclaimed, but house churches. So this main gospel church that my church has been partnering with for 13 years, well before I got there, has been making its way out into the villages and in such ways, and new little house churches have been popping up. There's several. As a matter of fact, Ekachai, the pastor, he's a big planner. He writes a lot and diagrams a lot. He shared with us his plan for next year, but in it, you see the little circle of their church, and there's so many little webs that are attached to it. Members in the church, men and women have come together and gone out into their own areas and started their own house churches. And in the midst of all that, people are coming to the Lord. People are being saved. I got a chance on the first Sunday that I was there to go to one of these house churches, and it was, you, Ken Cummins, or should I say Dad, know all about the village churches in Honduras and all the other missions excursions you've had that are under just a thatched roof in someone's backyard, right?
Oh, yeah, many, many.
So, painting a picture there, we're going in this small remote village, little tiny little back roads, not even concrete, getting back there. Show up, we've got the pastor, his son, people on the team, and our interpreter. We go in there, and there's like five or six people. Most of them are family and friends, and then they have their kids. Well, we're sitting there, and we're sharing, we're going back and forth. They're singing. We brought acoustic out there. And if you really want to know how remote this is, we've got the little mosquito things burning. You know what I'm talking about? Smells like incense to keep the mosquitoes away.
Yeah, I thought that was Brian's aftershave. Right, I didn't know. Yeah.
No.
It's pretty strong. We can't smell it all the way in Thailand. But well, anyway, go ahead, Brian. I'll let you save some faith there.
I'm just taking it all in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But in all seriousness, we're in these house churches. And, we've some of the people that are with the team have spoken to encourage these new believers who in their village, they're often told that, unfortunately, Christianity to them is nonsense. It's goes against what they have been ingrained, what's been ingrained in them since birth and before their culture. Of course, the message that day was stand strong, even in the face of rejection with your newfound faith.
Amen.
And you don't have to say that about to God. Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and his name is holy, and that
That's
will
right.
change hearts. But these people are going to get attacked by the enemy who has a stronghold there, 99% not Christian, Buddhist. So I had the pleasure to witness three new believers being baptized in just a tub of water in a field with mosquitoes everywhere, dogs, children running around, but all that to say, seeing these new believers, being baptized in just a tub of water in their backyard and coming out of that water and just seeing the looks on their faces and feeling the Holy Spirit in that moment. So I saw three of those at that one house church, and that was so encouraging to see that. You could feel the Holy Spirit right then and there, and just the looks in their eyes and the tears, it was something to behold.
Now, do you know that they go through a process right after they're saved before they're baptized, or do they baptize you somewhat immediately?
I think, I'm not sure. I knew they were pretty new, but I don't think that they did it like right after, because one of the big things that, you know, needs to happen in any community or any church is discipleship. And, you know, you're saved, and then, well, now you're in church, and you need to be discipled so that you can spread the gospel and keep growing the church. So I'm not sure what their timeline is on that, but just seeing how these people, some of them were in their 40s, some of them were in their, I think one lady was probably in her late 60s, early 70s,
young
blind, had to be helped into, had to be helped into the tub because she's blind. That's how on fire for God these new believers are. And I'm not sure, like I said, about the timeline.
Gotcha.
But these people spread, they're so excited, and they've been converted. They've been taken quite literally from death to life. And you can see it in their eyes. And I know, and I said this, I was being translated for it, but I was like, your community is going to see that look in your eyes. They're going to see the difference in the way you walk and speak and just how you act and treat others. And they're going to want to know what's going on.
Before we hear a story from Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope, maybe you have a story that you'd like to share of maybe someone you saw something miraculous, or a story that stands out to you before some of our listening family has to get out and go into the school because they're teachers or something like that.
Yeah. So you want me to tell a quick story?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know, the house churches, there's several other stories I could tell about the house churches and things.
Well, we're going to do really that cool. When you get back. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, when we get back. Okay.
But just give us a short story now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically, the bus driver that helps get us around, he was a strong Buddhist for a very long time. He would help the team and drive them around. He was in the community, and he had Buddhist imagery all over his vehicle. Well, now he is a strong Christian. He took all the Buddhist things down. He's got the gospel all over his van, and he's the one that champions going into these villages with the gospel cards to share with these people. So it just shows, and he's a young guy, it just shows how Christ can change anybody. But that's about as quick as I can give you before Johnny Erickson Tata.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We have that's just the Reader's Digest version. In fact, that was more like a right. Facebook post. And so what we'll do, as soon as we come back directly from Johnny, we'll have more stories to share about Andrew and the team's recent trip into Thailand and what the Lord is doing all over the world. And in the mandate to share this good news of that the Lord has given us to go and make disciples. And you're listening to The Front Porch on your community station, Missionary Radio.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. And this is Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
And I have two guests in the studio to help us understand what this condition is all about. And these two are experts. I've got with me 8-year-old Mia, who has Down syndrome, and Jack, her 10-year-old brother. Welcome, you two. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm so glad to be here, too.
Okay. What do you like best about Jack?
I love my brother.
I'm glad you do. And, of course, you love your little sister, right?
Of course, yeah.
Now, you were telling me a story earlier, because sometimes we get the idea that kids with Down syndrome are always happy, never a bother.
Yeah, she always has her glass halfway full, that's for sure. She always has something to say.
And what do you love best about your older brother?
I love my brother so much.
But why? What's
so cool?
He helps
me when I get hurt.
He does. And he gives good hugs, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Jack, was there ever a time that you felt embarrassed about little Mia?
Yeah.
I'm not little.
But in the past, she's done some things to make me want to crawl up in a ball. But then later on, I go over it and think about it and say, you know what? That's just her being her. And that's completely fine.
Wow.
So, Mia, what do you like best about his hugs?
He gets great squishes and great snuggles.
Okay.
And I will get similar hugs.
You do, don't you? Well, Jack, what do you wish more people understood about kids with Down syndrome?
The kids with Down syndrome, and anyone in particular with Down syndrome, when people say, I'm so sorry, they shouldn't be sorry, and that Down syndrome is entirely a gift. and how amazing that they can be. And when people say, you know, they can't do this or they can't do that, and then they do it, it's so amazing. And most people who know what Down syndrome is think that it's not a good thing. But I think I want the world to know that it's really incredible and amazing.
Because it's made your family a little more special, hasn't it?
Yeah, Mia is definitely the glue that holds this family together.
Is that true, Mia? Are you the glue in the family?
Jack was the glue.
Jack's the glue?
I'm the tape.
You're the tape. Okay. Well, Jack, what advice would you give any siblings today who are listening that might have a brother or sister with Down syndrome?
Be patient. They're incredibly talented and so incredible, and that you should think of this as a gift. Whoever your sibling is, boy, girl, have fun with it and know that they'll always be here for you.
Absolutely. Could you say a prayer to close our time together for our listeners?
Thank you, God, for this precious and amazing day. Lord, we just want to pray for all of the siblings, parents, anyone who knows someone with Down syndrome. And God, I just pray that you'll tell them that it's completely fine and that this is a gift.
Yes.
And that everyone with Down syndrome, they all have something special about them, and that you just need to find that. And that they're so incredible. You just take the time and just think about how incredible this is, that you were chosen for something so amazing like raising or being with a child with Down syndrome, God. We thank you so much for this day, and we just pray that you help all of those people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
M-A.
Well, I can't think of two better ambassadors of Down Syndrome Awareness Month than these two ambassadors, Jack and Mia. And friend, you may know somebody who's carrying a preborn child with a disability, or maybe you know someone who just gave birth to a little girl or boy with Down syndrome. And I've got an excellent booklet called My Baby Has a Disability. I'd love to send it to you today. Just contact johnnyradio.org and ask for your free copy. Do it today. And Jack and Mia, thanks so much for joining me and being a huge blessing to our listeners, okay?
Of course.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Missionary Radio family, our What an Awesome God Carathon is almost here, October 7th through 9th. But here's the truth. Our pre-pledges are small, and without a strong response, this ministry can't continue as it has. Hello, this is Ken Cummins, General Manager of your community Christian station, Missionary Radio. We need gifts of every size, because together, they add up. But if God has blessed you with the ability to give more, now is the time. Larger gifts at this moment will carry Missionary Radio through a critical shortfall and make sure the gospel is proclaimed loud and clear in our community. There is urgency, but also great hope. We believe God will use His people, you, to keep His word strong on the air. Will you be a part of the answer? Now is the time. Give today at missionary.radio or call us at 877-885-9655 during the Carathon, October 7th through 9th. Together, let's proclaim what an awesome God we serve.
Welcome back to the Front Porch.
Well, good morning to you, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First.
Good morning, Ken Cummins, the legend.
And Andrew Cummins, the younger, I guess.
The younger legend. No, I'm just joking.
He's via telephone and talking about a recent trip to Thailand. Andrew, before we kind of branch off, this is more stories and the power of prayer and really how that we need to tear down some strongholds. But before we do that, are you over your jet lag yet?
Short answer, no.
Okay. I know that as a Marine, you traveled a bit. Have you ever experienced this jet lag like when you're a Marine? Does it compare to this particular one, or is it about the same?
All right. I got two things to say to that. Number one, I want to come up with a better nick. I don't really need a nickname, but if I'm going to be on these interviews, I kind of need one. So Andrew the Younger in this context, it kind of applies to the context, because as you say, I was a Marine. Well, once a Marine, always a Marine. But when I was in the Corps, I would make these flights. I was all of 19 or 20 years old, right, when I was doing these back-and-forth flights to Okinawa, Japan. Well, back then, I could recover. Well, nearing a couple years from 40, I know that's not super old, but going there, you know, was fine. Going to Thailand, I adjusted pretty quickly. But let me tell you, coming back is a whole other story. It's been 3 days and I'm still waking up here around 3 or 5 a.m. And now Ken Cummins is going to say, I wake up at that time every day.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I don't. And so does Brian Marshall side about him the first day.
That's right.
That's because Tamara kicks him out of bed.
That's what it is.
But go ahead, though.
Well, anyway, yeah, so the jet lag, it's been rather heavy this time, but the show must go on. I got a lot of things to do, as you well know.
Well, okay. Well, for what I'd like to do now in these moments here that we have left on the front porch, you were sharing some stories, and there's always stories. Maybe they're not just relative to you, to the trip you're on, but maybe a story or two to share about the power of God as you were told or have seen, and then we'll branch off into what is the power to do missions. We'll talk about that, but first a story or two.
Yeah, so I was talking about those house churches. Another one that I got to go to. The guy who, because a lot of these are families and friends. It's that's how the church grows a lot of the times. It starts with families and friends and people with a heart for God and all that. Well, one guy had a heart attack and he was getting ready to die and he barely survived. And while he was in the hospital, I don't know what led to another, but the pastors and some of the people in the community, I guess they knew him or something. I really don't know the background on it, just that they went into the hospital and he was trying to recover from this heart attack and he was just having a hard time. Well, pastors and I guess the deacons in these churches came in, shared the gospel with him, and they said, we're praying for you. Well, he started to see that power of prayer work. He started to see healing in his body. He started to feel better and recover well beyond what the doctors said was possible. And he attributed that to the Lord, to Jesus Christ healing him. And in doing so, he gave his life to Christ. And he started a church in his backyard, and his whole family was saved. He's having marital problems. Christ came into their lives. They're doing great. Their kids have been saved, and their friends are becoming saved. So one story of servants of God going into a hospital to pray for a guy, him being healed through faith, it just goes a long way. It's a ripple effect.
Sounds much like the book of Acts, when things have happened, to watch the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit, what he does. And speaking of that, a lot of times, Andrew, on these short-term mission trips, you hear these wonderful stories come back. There were 925 people saved, and you know, that's wonderful.
Saved.
Yeah, but they're not always that way, are they?
No, and I think we need to set up a reasonable expectation. Number one, it's God's will, not ours. We are just his hands and feet. We are his servants taking up the cause of Christ, going into these areas, you know, because when he left, after he came back from the dead and he spent those days there, as he was leaving, he said, pretty much paraphrased, go out and tell people about me. This is your task now. And that's what we do. Well, a lot of people who don't really, unfortunately, are not mission-minded or don't really seek that as much as they should. I mean, we're all guilty sometimes, but they think that mission's just where you go in and you just snap your finger and you've got souls saved. That's not how it works. A lot of the time, actually, when you spend a lot of time in missions, you start to realize it's seed planting. It's being faithful. It's having the faith that God is going to do what God's going to do according to his will, and that we are only his servants, and we are sharing that gospel. Well, as I said, church I go to, Heartland's been going to this area for 13 years. It's a slow trickle because it is such a stronghold for the enemy. 99% Buddhist, not even a percentage, is Christian, and that says a lot. So it's in the going, faithfully, repeating, going, pouring into these communities, you know, and sharing that gospel that it takes root. And it's not always salvation. Sometimes it's seed planting. God is going to do what God's going to do.
Well, and that's true, and it is his will that all come to repentance and come to saving knowledge, because there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who's willing that all to be saved. I am convinced of that. So our responsibility, we cannot save anyone. Our responsibility is to share, and we are to do that daily. Now, let me back up just a bit and circle back. And there are definitely strongholds. You've said numerous times to bring the point very clear that that area is not a Christian area. It is, you said, less than 1% actually are evangelical or born-again Christians. But how in the world are we supposed to prepare and take down these strongholds, Andrew? How's that going to work to get the gospel out?
Well, number one, we got to be willing. We got to, like I said, take up the cause of Christ and really just, I mean, there's so many ways we can do missions. You know, we're a missionary radio. We're one part of the whole of the church who we're doing what we do. You know, we're doing it on the radio. Some people do it in different ways, but that is just in our own backyard. But to reach people across the pond, if you will, we got to be willing to take up our cross and follow him, whether that's short-term, long-term missions. You have to be willing to go into there, number one. Those are the people on the ground. But others can support these things. They can give to their church. They can give to mission organizations. You know, not just going there is all it takes. Like, we need, you know, to realize that when you give to things like Missionary Radio or other places where missions happen, you're supporting the greater whole. That's one part. Of course, that's a very real concrete part. It's money and getting there. But more than anything, prayer and being faithful and being willing, those things are of utmost importance to get the gospel message out there. So I would say take a mission trip somewhere, see what it's like. And if you don't, if you can't, give to missions, however that takes form, but you have to proclaim it. You can't just sit on the sidelines, be saved, and take advantage of it. No, you got to tell more people about it. Missions is right where we are, but it's also over there. And it takes going there. It takes prayer. And prayer is one of the most effective things you can do.
Now, back to the ministry that goes on there in Thailand and those areas where you were, day in and day out, just a regular daily grind. What is the church doing to tear down the strongholds of Satan?
Well, from what I witness and what I understand, there's a lot of evangelism going in. They make plans all the time to go into these communities and do these pop-up evangelism events, if you will. I'm not sure there's a word to call that, but they also they plan meticulously. As a matter of fact, they're planning 3 big concerts next spring. I would love to go. I don't know how that's going to look, but I made brothers and sisters there. They asked me, please come back and be a part of these concerts. But it's a way to get into the community. They're planning 3 large concerts over a couple of days where they go into these villages and they get this big production and they get the attention of people. And from when they get the people in there, then they proclaim the gospel, because sometimes going house to house is not as easy as it sounds when you're reading about a missionary doing so. And you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my, yes. So we're supposed to be to tear down these strongholds of Satan. And I
go in there. You can't just talk about it. You got to pray. And if you really want, you got to go in there.
Right. And I do I know the word of God spreads because of the power of God. And in fact, the scripture tells us, and I'm going to try to get this scripture up that came to mind. But anyway, the gospel is not, how should I say it? It's alive, it's active, and it is powerful. And I think sometimes that we forget that we're not on our own, but we have the very power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same power that's at work in us right now, Andrew. So I don't think that we'll see the fact. Here it is, what I was thinking about. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, the idea is that power, that dynamic power, which that's what the word means actually, is because of proclaiming Jesus. Now, we need to plan, and those house churches that the pastor is doing is a wonderful way. And I maintain that it even works right here in the United States of America. and building up the relationships and tearing down of these strongholds. If we can't see that these strongholds are built up here as anywhere, then we're certainly blind and aren't looking. But in these few moments that we have, maybe a couple more minutes, maybe there's something that I failed to bring up that you think ought to be stressed here from what you saw in your trip to Thailand. And I'll give you the open mic.
Well, there's a lot I could say. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna be able to really get into it. But I want to share something, a scripture that came to mind as you were saying that just goes with it, and it's the point of everything. Isaiah 55:11. As you know, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And of course, says the Lord. Right. Well. In these moments, we have to believe in the power of gospel, because the word of God that comes from the mouth of our Lord does not return empty, accomplishes what he desires for the purpose for which he sent it. And another thing that he did, he sent us out on a mission, whether that's in your backyard, whether that's at work, whether that's in the Isan region of Thailand. God's going to do what God's going to do. It's his will, but we have to proclaim it and believe it, and it will desire its purpose through Christ Jesus. That's all I got to say.
Well, absolutely, and just to set the stage here just for a moment, too, as we're getting ready to leave the front porch, and I'm going to go to the back porch because I'm not planning to work today. But anyway, but no, in all seriousness, there are over 8 billion people in this world. And according to missiologists, not only what Christian I recognize is what the kind the Bible talks about, regenerated, born again, and in becoming a true follower of Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, if we don't see the task before us, how can we remain silent? Now, once you have met a Savior who was crucified, and then on the third day rose again, and you meet him face to face, kind of like Paul, one born out of due time. In other words, you didn't see him face to face physically, but you had an encounter with him. You want to share about him. And so thank God, Andrew. Thank you for the trip. Thank you for the time that you've given here. And I will let you prepare your way to make your journey, I guess, to Hopkinsville today. So thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, no problem. I'll see you later.
All right. And Brian?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to the back porch. We've been
on
the front
porch. Are you going to the back porch?
And that way no one can see me, and okay. I'm going to hide from the manager.
Well, that's what you want to do.
I don't think the Lord let me do that.
Probably not.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.